Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon, FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today, I bring another special guest. His name is Andy Craig, and he's the founder and CEO of AdHabit, one of the top agencies out there, actually, when it comes to PPC optimization. And that's why I wanted to bring Andy today, because I want to speak about something that I feel is super underutilized when it comes to ads, which is sponsor brands and sponsor display. Every single time I do an audit, I'm surprised about the amount of opportunity is left on the table in terms of, you know, retargeting, in terms of really enhancing your brand experience and the awareness you bring to a niche. I'm sure Andy's going to drop some interesting knowledge, not only on that, but in advertisement in general, which is always an interesting conversation to have. So, Andy, pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to have you on. I know you've been in the space for a while now, so I'm sure you have seen everything when it comes to ads. The good things, the bad things, you know, all the tricks and all the different things. I'm sure every single day when you jump on LinkedIn is interesting to learn from. So, before we jump into technicality and everything that has to do with ads, I think it would be great to have a little bit of background yourself. I know you've been in the space for a lot of years now. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you went from basically your background to found your company AdHabit and the things you specialize on.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like many advertisers you've probably met, I started off as a seller. Back in 2020, I was selling products, and I still have some products I'm selling, but I focus mostly on AdHabit. Really just fell in love with, you know, the advertising side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked as a electrician, engineer. And cool. I was in the Army for 8 years.
Oh, and you're an engineer like myself. That's interesting. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And I always, you know, I was always looking for something to do. It's hard for me to sit still. So then I got into Amazon and then learned everything I possibly could about the ad side. Started helping out friends, and then started helping out more people. And then before you know it, I needed to hire people. And that's where AdHabit was founded. Started training, awesome. Building my team. Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great, actually. It's such an interesting journey, just to tap a little bit on that. Because as you say, a lot of us come from a seller background. I think that's where we identify that, you know, we actually can do, first of all, money besides being a seller. That's the first thing. But the second thing is the beauty that we know all the knowledge that we actually gather as a seller. There's a lot of people that, you know, they're actually struggling, and we can actually, you know, share this with the community and help so many entrepreneurs. So just wanted to say that. Yeah. But please continue.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, basically, that's the short of it, right? I started running the ads and doing that for friends, build AdHabit up. And it's just, that's all she wrote. You know, that's what I've been doing ever since. And just, I love growing brands through advertising. Just like you said about, you know, you do an audit on accounts, you're surprised that people aren't running sponsored brands, sponsored display. I still run into accounts that are just running auto campaigns.
Oh my, yeah, I have seen those. Yeah, it's crazy. So I think we can actually use that as a starting point. Like, I feel it's crazy. Like, sometimes, I mean, there is so much knowledge out there in terms of in the piece of content, but still, yeah, sometimes you even see 7-figure brands doing those things, and I'm amazed. So I guess as a starting point is, let's start with the foundational thing about, you know, what are some of the main mistakes people are doing? Like, you mentioned the automatic campaigns, that's something that I see all the time, but on the high level, what are some of the things you see, especially in 2024, that people keep doing, that's definitely killing their momentum when it comes to advertising? Yeah.
I would say a lot of people, that's especially new people new to Amazon ads, I notice they see all these ad types, all these match types. Now, sponsored brand, sponsored display is great. But when you're first launching,
Yeah, of course.
You know, as you know, it makes sense to target those keywords that are most relevant to your product. Mm-hmm. And I'll see people with, you know, 200% ACoS because they're going extremely broad. And then they limit their budget. They run out of budget by noon.
Yeah.
And they're not showing up on their best keywords that they want to rank for. That's one thing that I see quite a bit.
Yeah. So with that, I guess that brings an idea to my mind is that a lot of people, when it comes to budget and they're struggling with this kind of limitation that isn't lasting the whole day, we see people start bringing to the conversation day party, right? Oh, okay, I'm going to turn my campaigns off and on and all of that. But let's be honest, like for most sellers, if you don't have enough data, you're just gambling, right? They're just hoping you grab the person at the right moment, which again, without investing significant amount, you're not going to have validated information. So tell us a little bit about piggybacking on this mistake, like how the partner has been an important thing for you and your clients as well.
We don't do a ton of day partying. Like we don't do the marketing stream at all. I don't completely trust the Amazon attribution. And
I think nobody.
So we don't do a ton of day partying. We will do like certain periods, certain days for those campaigns that have a ton of data. But if we don't have a super consistent, you know, ad or target that is getting, you know, the same data per day, I don't really recommend the day partying, right? If we have inconsistency in sales where it's a lot this day and it's a little bit this day, we don't mess with it as much. But we do analyze, you know, not by hour, but we will analyze days that we perform better and also, you know, hours through the day as far as like big chunks. I do mess around with day partying where it comes from like midnight to 5 a.m. We'll turn those off sometimes.
Awesome. Cool. Now, another thing that I get asked all the time, and I want to start using this opportunity to actually piggyback also on the mistake people do when launching products, is that you are right. Like people try to do too many type of targeting from day one, and they really struggle to validate or at least understand which one is going to be the most effective way to really, focus, first of all, the budget, but second of all, the quantity of keywords they should go for. So just to high level, because I know the whole launch strategy can be a whole episode by itself, but just to make sure we clarify that question, like when it comes to launch, what are some of the key elements you make sure your strategy contains?
As far as the key elements, you mean like which campaigns to launch?
Exactly. What type of campaigns? Yeah. And what kind of amount of keywords max you like to stay around when it comes to launch? Yeah.
Yeah. We're still not primarily, but the most of our ad spend is still going towards sponsored products. Mm-hmm. But I have seen, you know, sponsored brands do very, very well sometimes. So we'll allocate more budget when it performs well. As far as the number of keywords per campaign, it depends. For our keyword research, our initial one, where we're looking at the bigger search volume keywords, we do stick to, you know, usually around 5-10 keywords per campaign. But for our most important keywords, we do like to run single keyword campaigns just because we have the most amount of control on those. We're really able to pinpoint, you know, the bid and the exact placements where we want to show up, which is very useful. And that's one of those updates, like those placements, the placement modifiers, and then recently rest of search. I love those updates that Amazon has sent out.
Yeah. And something when it comes to launch, so we can close this out the conversation, I see people doing this integration within the same campaign of targeting exact phrase and broad. And we all know that it's not the best practice to do so. So just to explain that to people that have this question, and they also ask me all the time, can you explain why targeting multiple type of keywords from different type match on the same campaign is not a good idea?
So from our perspective, we don't like you, common practice, we don't target the same match types in the same campaigns. Mm-hmm. And one of the big reasons why is we have different goals for those match types. Those discovery campaigns, we like to run them usually at a little bit lower ACoS and save some room for those exact match campaigns to be possibly more aggressive. That's one of the big main reasons. But also just adding negatives, right? I don't like to have a campaign that, you know, I'm going through the keywords, there's exact, there's negatives.
Overlapping.
Yeah, overlapping each other. But the goals thing is the biggest thing for me, and performance. It's hard to push hard on exact match where we have Fraze and Broad in the same campaign, right?
I know.
Because the ACOS, you know, say my ACOS and exact match is doing really well, I can't push harder with the budget or the placements on that campaign because there's a lot of Fraze and Broad that might not be doing as well.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, on the conversation of sponsor ads and sponsor display, as we said at the very beginning, like sometimes I'm amazed that I see so many brands that are already on the seven figures plus, they're still not leveraging sponsor brands on display. And what I want to bring to this episode in terms of another value is justify, first of all, why they're important. And second of all, what is the specific scenario where they can be essential to grow certain verticals of your advertisement, right? So I guess from your experience, like tell us a little bit about how you've been implementing sponsor ads and sponsor display with your brands and clients. Yeah.
So sponsored brands is definitely my go-to. Sponsored display, I've never seen perform quite as well as sponsored brands for most of my accounts. Some of them, it's different. Every account, as you know.
Yeah, it's a universe.
Yeah. But, you know, I've had accounts where video ads have always just done very, very well. And it might make up, you know, 30% of the ads just with the videos.
Yeah.
Just because it converts extremely well. And and I'll have accounts that have a professional video done. And that might not work as well as accounts that just put together a video with their phone. So our kind of philosophy with everything is test it to see how it works.
Yeah.
Now, with the sponsored brand headline ads, I'm very glad that Amazon rolled out the, you know, you have to add custom creatives because I've had so many clients that haven't brought that to us. And I've like, guys, we need to do this. We need to do this. But now it's a requirement. So it makes my life a little bit more, a little bit easier. So, yeah, it's definitely. And one of the things with those headline ads, like we always change the image. We split test it. We see which one is working the best. We customize the image to the search terms that work.
Exactly. So important. Yeah, you said that is so important because when it comes to creatives within your ads, you need to tailor toward the search term you're targeting. It's like, let's say you're targeting a black water bottle, right? And then the video only show a purple water bottle. It's like you're actually not, you know, targeting the right, you know, the right characteristics or variation that it will be connected to the actual search terms. And I see that all the time. People think that they can do one video and copy paste across the 100 search terms and hope it works. But yeah, what you said right there, super important, like tailoring the content toward the search terms, which at the same time, I think, and maybe you can build on top of this, the reason why people not do it is because, I mean, you have to have the resources to do all these pieces of content, but we both know now with AI, it's so simple, right? To actually do this.
Yeah, we have a video editor on my team and he uses AI in combination with his other skills to you know, push these out for our clients pretty quickly, which is really nice. One of the other things I want to jump back to on sponsored brands is back to like auditing accounts, right? I'll audit a lot of accounts that are running sponsored brand broad match, but they don't realize how broad it actually can be.
And
for those of you that have, that are watching this, that have sponsored brands broad match, go look at your search term reports.
It's crazy.
Look at what it's shown up for. So use broad match modifiers on sponsored brands. That's definitely a recommendation.
Yeah, that's a quick win right there because I don't know why, but it's true. The broad on sponsor brand can go so wide sometimes. It's like nothing to do with the pro.
You could put, you know, garlic press and you're going to show up for like kitchen utensil.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, on the sponsor brand side of things, so we can also finalize this part, like, do you feel it's also something brands should do not only from the perspective of making sales, because of course that's a priority, but from a branding exercise, like some, you know, there are so many brands out there that spend millions of dollars and they know that it's not going to be a positive ROAS, but it's the fact that my brand keeps controlling the niche, they keep seeing my logo, they keep seeing my catalog and all of that. So is this a conversation sometimes you have to have with the brands, like, yes, we're going to do these campaigns from an awareness perspective, not from a ROAS perspective?
Yes, I mean, a lot of times too with the awareness, it might not convert quite as well as, you know, sponsored products. But when we've pushed sponsored products, when we've launched a lot of campaigns, obviously as we go broader and broader, we're going to convert less, right? So we want to start to utilize these other assets like the sponsor brands for the brand awareness to put the nice creatives, the nice logo, and put your products right at the top of the page So that's the first thing people see when they type in those keywords, right? Because awesome. That might get their attention immediately before they even scroll down to the rest of the search results.
Yeah, cool. Now, bringing the sponsor display of things to the conversation, I feel this is a something that's also not utilized in a proper way because, I mean, usually sponsor display is kind of like having DSP to some extent. Like it's limited, of course, but it's essentially the same fundamentals, right? You can retarget people based on behaviors, based on data ranges and things like that. You can also be very strategic targeting on your competitors. So tell us also how sponsored display is being part of your strategy. Like how are you using sponsored display nowadays?
One of the first things we do is we'll do sponsored display with the purchases remarketing. That's the purchases, especially if we're like a consumable products. We work with a lot of supplements, so that's one of the first things we'll do. And I like the fact that you could segment it between look back periods, right? Seven days, 14 days, 30 days. You know, this, especially if you know how frequent that buyer should go through your product, purchasing them or retargeting them as soon as they need to reorder again is a perfect scenario, right? The next thing I would say that we do is the remarketing, right? The purchases remarketing, not purchases. Views remarketing.
The advertising. Yeah, the ones that have seen similar advertised products. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they've seen your similar advertised products or similar advertised products of yours, like with your competitors. We do that quite a bit, and we kind of work our way up the funnel between the purchases, views, remarketing. Then we go to the other audience targeting, the in market, the lifestyle. We're always under the assumption, test it to see how it works. Yeah. If it doesn't work, lower the bids, possibly pause it, and then try something else.
Yeah. And now within a sponsored display, actually, you can also do video, right? Mm-hmm. So which is something relatively new to some extent. So how are you seeing the performance of those videos as well from your experience?
I've seen them
compared to sponsored brands, for example.
We haven't done a ton with the sponsored display video yet, but the accounts that we are doing on, I have seen it perform pretty well. So we're just gonna keep testing it out with different accounts.
Cool. And now from a distribution perspective, and I bet you get this question all the time, how you decide how much budget is gonna go to a sponsor product, sponsor brand, sponsor display? Do you have a formula, or this is more driven on performance and split testing? How you start with at least when you have a blank canvas, you need to start somewhere in terms of distribution, then this is going to evolve. But from day one, what is usually the percentages you like to use?
So from day one, we're usually mostly sponsored products, right? 90% sponsored products, around there, 80, 90%, maybe 10, 20% sponsored brands, maybe 5% sponsored display. But I really break it down to the client's goals, exactly what they're looking for and their budget. If a client comes to us, they're launching on Amazon and they have a huge budget, they just want to focus on revenue, not so much profitability, we'll launch as much as we can, right? But if a client is very focused on just sales, we're going to do it based on the actual sales performance. And if they're focused on, let's say, ranking, right? If they're trying to rank on keywords, we're going to use sponsored products for that.
Interesting. And you mentioned a ranking, which is something I feel, I mean, it's essential when it comes to, figuring out how your ads can help you get there. Because I feel when it comes to ranking, a lot of people sometimes try to find a solution outside of Amazon with external traffic, influencers and all of that. But we all know that if you do proper ads and you have the right conversions and target the right keywords, actually that's the most powerful way to get positioned. So when it comes to ranking, how you feel from an ads perspective, your strategy change, because it's not the same where you're running ads from a profitability point of view or making sales compared to getting something ranked on a specific keyword. So what are some of your methodologies and structures when it comes to that? Yeah.
So as far as ranking goes, we're really focusing on, you know, how well we're converting against the rest of the market. If we're converting well, if we're, you know, if we have a good click-through rate, those are the ones that we're going to focus on and try to rank to the top of the page. Now, what I think is super important for the ranking is to actually track it, right? You know, take your ranking keywords, put them maybe in a spreadsheet if you don't have some sort of tool that tracks your history, put them into a spreadsheet and measure them week over week. Make a change, take note of it, and see all your metrics like the PPC spend, the sales, your conversions, impressions, click-through rate, right? And also track what the rank is day by day and that top of search impression share. Because some people, I've noticed, like, they're getting a lot of good sales on a keyword, but then 80% of the sales are coming from product pages.
Exactly.
That, that won't help as much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good tip right there. That's true, because you could be getting sales, but yeah, it's not from a keyword perspective results. And yeah, that's not going to drive you in your organic rank. Good. Good tip there. Now, when it comes to ranking as well, do you combine this with any other elements? And what I mean by this, do you go very aggressive on pricing? Do you do something from an image perspective? Like, how? What are some of the elements that maybe go a little bit outside the scope of ads that you feel, you know, sellers should also implement when doing this aggressive strategy from a PPC perspective?
Yeah, so we always go back to the listing first. We want to look, okay, if we're tracking our numbers and we're not getting the results we want, right? Is it our click-through rate? Are we driving a lot of traffic but not getting the right amount of clicks? The primary thing we're going to look at there is the main image, the price, the title, the reviews. Now, the reviews is the most difficult thing, right? If, it takes a while to get reviews, but you could instantly make changes with your title, your price, your main image, right? And people actually kind of sleep on SEO a little bit. They're, they don't realize what the algorithm will do by changing the title up a little bit. So many people are just scared to change the title, but we experimented with it as well. And we'll try, you know, a little bit of gray hat kind of tactics with the main image, right? What can we add to that main image to really increase that first click?
Cool. And now when it comes to going back a little bit to advertising, you mentioned something there, which is tools, right? And I get this question all the time. Like, people say, should I keep managing my campaigns on a manual perspective? Should I use some software? What is your take on that? Because, you know, there's always a big debate if, you know, you should be doing this with flat files or doing this with a, with a, with a software. What is your recommendation?
So I would say if I'm speaking to someone that wants, that's running ads, if they don't have an in-house team, they don't know how to do it themselves, they either have to learn how to do it, get some consulting, get some training. There are a lot of these softwares that, you know, have an algorithm that's just going to run it for you. I've never been super impressed with, you know, a lot of the automated. I've done tons of audits and it just messes up accounts sometimes. Sometimes it works. So it's hard to recommend certain softwares. We like to use the softwares to help us to manage things that where we have the control, right? We could still tell it.
A hybrid approach. Exactly.
Yeah. We could tell it what to do. We could say, after this many clicks, do this, and we could analyze it. So that's what we tend to do. But I haven't tested out a lot of the automated softwares a ton. But for those that are deciding between like a software and agency, I still recommend agencies, and I'm biased, but I think, you know, experts that have been running PPC for years still beat out the you know, automated softwares.
Yeah, because also the automated software, you have to consider that they are run by KPIs, and KPIs are not always taking consideration the analytical side of a strategy. Sometimes you might sacrifice certain KPIs because there is a strategy that is bigger than the actual numbers themselves. It could be from an awareness perspective. It could be from a ranking perspective. It could be from a brand share perspective. And these things, if you only focus on ACOS, TACOS, and things are very trivial to some extent, you're only doing adjustments based on that and not the actual perspective of the brand. So I think that's one of the main issues.
Yeah. And I think it's hard for some of these softwares to have a one-size-fits-all kind of algorithm. But there's so many different niches. There's so many different products. It doesn't work for every single one of them.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So I guess to start coming to an end, like, where do you feel in 2024 ads are going? And then the second following question to conclude will be, like, what is some of your advice for people to consider this year to stay on top of things when it comes to ads? Yeah.
I would say it's obviously, as we know, like, it's becoming a pay-to-play platform. It has been for years, and Amazon continues to launch more and more ads. So, you know, some people think that after a certain amount of time, they could turn off their ads, which maybe in the past was the case, and it's no longer the case, right? You have to consistently run your ads to get the right amount of traffic that you want to stay relevant on the keywords. I would say for 2024, there's a lot of new ad types that have been coming out, right? And you may just be stuck with your sponsored products. You've been running them for years and you're slowly losing market share. Mm-hmm. You have to consistently test out everything that's new, find that right bid that gets that target ACoS that you want, and just keep growing, right? Keep increasing the ad spend. As we know, you know, tacos, right? Right there.
Yeah.
It's ad spend divided by, you know, total sales, you know, times 100%. So if you increase your ad spend and you consistently get, you know, the same amount of tacos, you're going to increase your revenue, right? So if you could find the right bid that gets that right ACoS for you, you're just going to consistently grow. So, you know, expand into sponsored brands, go into sponsored display. Once you get big enough, jump into DSP and you're going to see sales continue to grow.
Awesome, Andy. So thank you so much. I appreciate your knowledge and your time. And in case people, you know, want to find you and work with you, I know you, this is what you do on a daily basis, your bread and butter. So how people can get in touch? Yeah.
Yeah. You can go to the website, ad-habit.com. You could find me on LinkedIn, Andy Craig. I have a YouTube channel as well. It'll be Andy Craig. There's a couple Andy Craigs. So just look up Andy Craig Amazon and you'll find me pretty easily. So
yeah. Awesome, Andy. I'm going to make sure to put it down in the description for everybody to find. In the meantime, thank you so much for being here. And I can't wait to see you some of the upcoming events, bro. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.